Moolala is brought to you by the nonprofit credit counseling agency Credit Canada and by Home Equity Bank, provider of the CHIP reverse mortgage. It can be a huge challenge for young Canadians to budget and save and live in this ridiculous world that we find ourselves in. Ridiculous, amazing, but also ridiculous. Dr. Moira Summers is a Canadian clinical neuropsychologist specializing in financial psychology. That is a very big and very impressive title. She joins me now to share her tips on how to make good financial habits stick. And she's in, Moira, you're in Manitoba today.
I am.
Hello from Manitoba. And welcome. Welcome back to the program. I want to start off with a question that I'm sure you get asked, but I think it's so important as context for this conversation, is describe the link between spending money and psychology. At its root, how do those two things come together?
Oh, mercy. There's just so many different levels. You can't survive without spending money these days, right? Like no matter how much of a survivalist you are, at some point, you're going to have to get your hands on some goods, and that generally requires money. My interest as a financial psychologist, Bruce, is all about the factors that lead people to be conscious or unconscious about that spending, to spend wisely or to spend in accordance with what they really value, not only for their present self, but for their future well-being, the granny and grandpa version of them. And then, of course, what are the factors that interfere with the good decisions?
Now, this is a challenge that is different for younger Canadians, however we define younger Canadians, than it is for, baby boomers who are just at a different life stage. The circumstances of being young in Canada in these times are very, very different. What would be some examples of that difference in your mind?
Well, for the first time in many, many years, we're dealing with significant inflation, for example. And just if you had thought to put together a budget and it was a pretty tight one, you will be noticing that it's harder and harder to make things fit into your predetermined category at the level that you want to. So there are just things that are happening that are outside of our control in domains that we haven't had to deal with in a long time. Housing costs, food costs, all of those
things. Yeah. I have a 12-year-old in the house, and it's so interesting to observe the kinds of behaviors, some connected to money, some not, in which their life has become gamified. And a part of that is amazing and so fantastic. And then there are also times when they'll come to me and they'll talk about, I'm earning cryptocurrency by playing this game. And I'm like, no, this isn't how this is supposed to work. How do you look at the reward-oriented environment that we are in? And whether it's playing games or earning points on a card or earning crypto on an app, all those things, how does that connect to good and not so good financial behavior?
Let's start with the bad. I mean, some of it is just so divorced from reality. The TikTok hawksters who, promise that you will be rich, and in fact that you're stupid if you don't follow up with this crypto thing, and just having people who are not acting in their best interests, and those people are coming into our house every day via the telephone or via the game. I would love that gamification be used for good in terms of making it easier for people to track their spending and to earn rewards, and for financial consciousness to be more fun than it is now, which is often a drag. But there are some things that are happening. For example, one of the things I wanted to talk to you about today was a new product on the market through PC Financial, which is making it easy for people to earn points on
the PC Money account
card, where they don't have to use credit to earn points. When I was working with people who were financially struggling, I would often see their dilemma, where they would want to use their own money to feel more in control of their spending, but they would feel this sense of loss, with FOMO, because they couldn't get points by paying with cash. And now that little dilemma has been solved because there are new products out there.
One of the dynamics that we hear about is people behaving in ways that aren't in their self-interest because of what they see at the shelf or on their app. And we like, it's 2x points day. And so you end up buying bathroom tissue at full price instead of waiting for it to be on sale because it's 2x points day. What are the tricks from a psychology standpoint that we can use to hack our brain to spend in ways that are consistent with Grandpa Bruce, who will be dashing, by the way, versus spending habits that will not be so good for Grandpa Bruce?
Or even for current version of Bruce, right? Mm. Because for most of us, there is a, at some point you will have to rob Peter to pay Paul if you're not paying attention to that. So future self or current self, using your own money is probably the biggest hack there is out there.
Which so, is using cash or debit such that it comes out of your account immediately and there isn't a risk that you're going to have an outstanding balance on your credit card. Is that what you mean?
That's right. There's this interesting thing that happens even when you imagine a method of payment, that if the method of payment that you're contemplating using involves your own money, then it seems that there's a little bit more pain associated with paying, and people will be more inclined to put stuff back on the shelf. And so any method that involves using your own money is one way of being more in control of your spending and less at the mercy of very sophisticated marketers, wherever, however they're coming at us.
If I ruled the world, I'd do so many things, but I would remove plastic of any kind, credit card, debit card, or whatever, until a young human was 25. And I would do that because of the evidence that we see around the pain of spending when you're peeling off the bills, right? Is there, in your view of the data, a difference between the pain associated with a debit and the pain associated with credit? Is it worse when you tap with a debit card? Does it feel more like cash?
People report that it feels more like cash. And, you know, Bruce, I think that we need to say there's a role for credit and there's a role for debit and there's a role for this new product, which is in many ways better than debit, that the PC folks have put out. You know, there's a fundamental safety issue involved in carrying around a schwack of cash. I've had patients who've lived in very bad neighborhoods and who didn't have access to cards before. And that was not a happy situation. That wasn't a safe situation. And so cards that allow you to pay using your own money increase your sense of control. They also increase your awareness and your prudence, it seems, as well as your safety.
Mm. And, you know, it will soon come where we will not be able to spend that paper cash anymore. Like Sweden, they're going to be, you know, they could well be cashless in the next year or two. Yeah. And in Canada could be soon, right? Mm-hmm. Let me close with this. If you were to give one tip to a young Canadian listening to our conversation, or a grown-up Canadian who happens to have a young Canadian in their life, a kid or a nephew or a niece or something, someone they're mentoring, what would be the biggest thing that you would say in order to help set them on the right track when it comes to money?
One is just try and stay conscious and find easy ways to make that happen. So there are this everyday spending account that's come out provides you with a summary at the end of the month about where the money has gone. And you need to look at that. You need to turn around and look at that. You need to look for banking opportunities that meet the needs of young people, Bruce. You know, as soon as you turn 18, banks consider you to be traditional banks consider you to be an adult, and they often put ridiculous transaction fees onto the accounts and require ridiculous levels of minimums that people can't put. But they will often, you know, very kindly give you overdraft protection. And so you want to choose an account that really has no transaction fees, no monthly minimums, that allows you to earn points, that allows you to be conscious in ways that are much less effortful.
That's great. Much less effortful. I don't know that that's a phrase, but I'm going to give you a pass. I'm teasing. Moira, thank you for joining us today. Dr. Moira Summers is going to Google effortful and see if she is allowed to say it. She's a PhD and I am not. She is a Canadian clinical neuropsychologist specializing in financial psychology. She joined us from Manitoba today to talk about many things, but among them, Canadians, young Canadians in particular, and how to build solid financial habits.